All right, 2 Samuel chapter 21, and I'm going to begin, whenever you get there, if you're able to, please stand this morning. I'm going to begin with verse 15. Verse 15, I'm going to read down through a few of the verses here, so just bear with me on this. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war against with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Sebeachiah the Heshethite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there again was a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elanan, the son of Gomoraham, a Benjaminite, slew the brother of Goliath, a Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet in a battle in Gath, there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born of the giants. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born of the giants in Gath and fell by the hand of David, by the hand of the servant. Now, I've entitled my sermon this morning, David and the Other Giants. Now, I want you to understand something. We'll get into it here in a little bit more as I go. But brothers and sisters, we'll have more than one giant in our life sometimes. We will have that. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come, Father, just thanking you for the blessings and for what you've given us. And Lord, I pray, Father, for the sermon this morning. You know, it's already been mentioned. Lord, I pray for the anointing this morning. And Father, I pray, Father, that the hearts would be opened here this morning. And that, Lord, that Father, we can go and, Lord, take from the scriptures this morning what you'd have each and every one of us to take. And Lord, we'll praise you for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. And amen. You may be seated. And thank you. Thank you this morning. Say with me, Ishbi-benob. Ishbi-benob. Say that with me. Ishbi-benob. Ishbi-benob. Now you can all go home and say you spoke in tongues this morning. But this is one of the giants, you know. If the Lord loved me, I want to talk about David and the other giants this morning. I want to go with this. I could ask everybody in this sanctuary this morning to tell me about the story of David and Goliath. I could go to one of these kids down here, and they could probably tell me about the story of David and Goliath. All of us know that. I could ask anybody in the sanctuary, and you could tell me, and they could tell me. You see, the story of David and the other giants is not quite as out there as the story of David and Goliath. Because all through his life, there were other giants that faced David. There was. The great danger we all must face is that when we think we have slew our Goliath, when we think he's finally been slain and the head of that thing has been held up and everybody comes by and slaps us on the back and says, man, you've done it and you made it. Can I tell you, everyone is singing your praise. Everyone's doing that. Sometimes you're in the most dangerous part of your life. Sometimes you may be in the most dangerous part of your life. Sometimes you may be at the most vulnerable place in your life where things could come against you. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what the scripture tells us. Listen, none of us are above any of this. After Goliath had been slain and the rest of the Philistine army was put on the run, don't you imagine that David sat back and he said to himself, you know, a little bit, he's saying, man, I'll never have to deal with them again. I'll never have to face that situation again. But guess what? The enemy came back. The enemy came back. That's why there are some powerful lessons in this story this morning. And I want to go over it. And I want to go over some of the wordage here again to prove a point to you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read some of the verse, and I want you to read the next word with me again. This is found in the 15th verse. It says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war. What's the next word? Again. Verse 18, and it came to pass after this that there was, again, war, a battle with the Philistines. Verse 19, and there was, again, battle in Gob with the Philistines. And verse 20, it says this, and there was yet battle in Garth. The common theme here is this, again and again and again. That's the common thing. Again, that's the lesson we can learn by Ishbi-Benob. That's what we can say. The enemy always comes back. The enemy always comes back. I'm going to give you some scripture. The Bible says that Ishbi-Benob thought he could slay David. And I want you to mark this in your word, highlight it, with a new sword. You see, you know what he's trying to say there? Listen, it may have been a new sword, but it was the same old enemy. The enemy may come at you, the same enemy may come at you. He may be used different tricks, different methods, different ways, but the enemy can come back, and the enemy can come back and try to slay you. Listen, the devil always comes back. He'll leave you alone long enough to where you think, where you can think that you have him whipped. Long enough to think that you're strong enough on your own to handle him. And out of the blue, that's when he comes. That's when he comes back. How do I know that? If you look at Luke chapter 4. Now, how many believe in here that Jesus come, he come as a human being, he come as God and as a human as well, and he went through and he experienced everything that you and I will experience down here. We believe every bit of that, don't we? Well, Luke chapter 4, if you read the account of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, it says this in verse 13. It said, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him forever for a season. He departed from him for a season. How many of you here believe that maybe it not be recorded in here, but how many of you believe that all the hounds of hell were after Jesus from there on out, trying to get him not to go to Calvary? Trying to get him to not to go to the cross? I believe that they were. I submit to you, I have no doubt in my mind that there were spiritual battles going on and conflicts in Jesus' life. As a matter of fact, when you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, you find that Jesus there, he was praying so intently that there was great drops of blood coming from him. Why was that? Because I believe all the hounds of hell were after him right at that time. I think, look at me, and listen, please understand this here this morning. You have an enemy that hates you, doesn't like your message, doesn't like your God, doesn't like your Jesus. You have an enemy. And Christians, if you think for one minute he won't attack you and keep on coming after you until the day you go home, I'm here to tell you you're sadly mistaken here this morning. You're sadly mistaken because I'm telling you, you have an enemy that will do that. If you're saved, he wants to destroy your dreams. He wants to destroy your hopes. He wants to destroy your purity. And he wants to destroy your opportunity. He wants to put to death every good and decent and holy, righteous thing in your life because he hates you and he hates your God. He hates you. And if you're lost here this morning, I don't know anybody's soul here this morning, but I can tell you this, he wants to kill every opportunity that you have to be saved. You're sitting back there this morning and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. He'll try to distract you with everything going on around you, even in this church. He'll try to send your mind someplace else to keep you off of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's upon you here this morning. I'm telling you, the devil wants to do that to you. Absolutely. He wants to send you to an eternal hell. Let me tell you that the Ishbi-Benobs in it will always come back. The giants will always come back. And by the way, the enemy is not your parent. The enemy is not your pastor. The enemy is not your Sunday school teacher. It's not anybody else. It's not any kind of youth director or youth pastor. It's not any of them people that stays on your case wanting you. Listen to me, young people, wanting to send to get you the truth to you. It's not any of them that's wanting that. No, they're the truth tellers are not your enemy. Brother said that they're your friends. They are absolutely your friends. The Bible tells us, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what it tells us. A true friend will tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. Can I have an amen? A true friend will tell you will tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. He'll tell you what you hear. The devil will tell you what you want to hear. As long as he can keep your mind off of getting saved, off of Jesus. And they said he wants to take you to an eternity in hell. And then once he's done that, he slithers off and goes to somebody else that he can do that with. That's what he'll do. Listen, it had been 45 years, when you read this story, since David killed Goliath. He was 17 years old. It had been 45 years. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? 45 years from now, if you're still on this planet, don't you think for a minute that those giants are going to start coming after you from time to time. Don't think that for a minute, because they will come. They will try. They will try, just like they did with David, 45 years. And guess what? The Philistines and the giants were still after him. Still after him. If God allows us to lose that, then the world will still be the enemy, and the devil will still be coming after you. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Be sober, be vigilant, the Bible tells us, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He may take a lot of different forms. He may bring a lot of new swords after you, because that's just the way he works. He is always after one thing, to destroy and to kill you. The first lesson to learn from David and Ishbi-Benob, the giants will come back. They will come back. Now, there's a second lesson I want to take from this scripture this morning. And it's David and Ishbi-Benob, and it's also about Abishai. That's David's nephew. You probably didn't pay much attention to it whenever I read down through there. But we know, in reality, it is not David the one who fights and kills this giant. It's Abishai who's the one that does it. That's David's nephew. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Mark the word succored in your Bible. It may look like a secured or whatever it is, but it's an old English term. You know what that means? It means that he come in aid of. What the scripture is telling us is that Abishai stood between David and the giant. Now, I want to give you another lesson that's learned here this morning. It means Abishai jumped between David and the giant to help protect him, to kill it. If I was writing this story, this is why another reason, somebody Jason mentioned this morning about all the warts in the Bible. If I was writing this story and how I'd have wrote it, I'd have said David jumped up out of there and killed a giant again. But that's not how it wrote. And there's a reason why God didn't write it that way. The lesson is this, that it's your time to fight. David fought his giant. He's still fighting giants, and he won. But can I tell you, I'm going to talk to the younger people here just a minute. Look at me and listen. There's a lot of gray-headed Davids in this church here this morning. They fought the battles. They've got the wounds to prove it. But you know what? It's time. It's time for you to stand up, to be the Abishais that you need to be. To stand up and fight the giants that are going to come after you, not just today, but all the rest of your life, as long as you stand for God on your side. It's now up to another generation to get into the battle. It's your time to take on the whole armor of God. Your time. Listen, I'm not telling the older people just to lay down and give up. But I'm telling you, we need another generation. Folks, there's a lot of Davids sitting in this sanctuary. I've said that. You know who they are? The Davids that have been through the wars, been through the battles. The lesson of Abishai for all the people that's in here this morning is, sitting in his church, the Davids, I'm sure he had heard every story about David killing Goliath. I am sure Abishai had heard that. I am sure that he had heard the story of how David slew him with a sling and a stone, and how that he cut off his head. And I'm here to tell you this morning, Abishai, I bet, was nervous. Wouldn't you be? He was nervous. But guess what? He stood up and he went into the fight. In 1 Timothy 6:11, it says this, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and goodness and faith and love, patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hath professed a good profession before many witnesses, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things before Christ. The lesson, it's your time. Don't think for a minute that you're back here and you're young and that God can use young and old alike, and He wants to use you. But you've got to be willing to be used. You've got to be willing to stand and say, God, I'm going to put on the whole armor of God and I am going to fight for you. Listen, it is a battle out there. It's a spiritual battle and it's a bloody battle. Praise God. David served in his own generation. It says this in Acts 13:36. David served his own generation by the will of God. That's what he did. Now you hear me. David served his generation. Now it's time for the Abishais of this time to serve their generation. It's time. It's time. They're studying in this church this morning. It's your time. It's your time to get off your seat. Pick up your sword, put on the armor of God, place and stand for glory of God in this generation. It is that time. In Ephesians, it tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what wrestle means? That means hand-to-hand combat. That's what it means. It means hand-to-hand combat. Hey, brother, it's bloody, and it's the battle. It's easy to sit back and say, well, I'll let somebody else do the battling. I'll let somebody else do that. No, it's not. It's time for every one of us, every one of us that's here this morning, not just the pastor, not just Greg, not just everybody else in this church. It's time for everybody that called by the name of the Lord to pick up the battle and go fight the battle that needs to be fought. We dress up good for church on Sunday mornings, do we not? We dress up good for church on Sunday mornings, but are you dressed for the spiritual battle when you go out of this church? Are you dressed for it? I think all of us, we need to take that into consideration. We need to take it into consideration when we go out of here to be dressed for battle. I'm going to tell you, in the spiritual realm, it's bloody and the fight's going on. Grandma and grandpa and mom and dad can't fight the battles for you. It's time you fight the battles for yourself. Find something to do and do it for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 9:10. I love this scripture. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with what? Thy might. Thy might. Do it. Let me ask all of the Abishais. Let me ask you. What are you standing up for? You know this. What are you fighting for? What are you praying for? What are you doing? Or what are you doing this morning? What's going on? Look around the church. Look at the gray-haired people in this church, folks. Look at them. These people lived a little while, and they can teach you, and they can show you, and they've been through the battles. God, I'm telling you this morning, it is your time to stand up and fight. They paid some prices. They paid some prices. I can guarantee you they paid some prices. They got some wounds to prove it. And they believe God for the things in their life. It's our turn. In the Romans' day, a Roman soldier, when they fought shoulder to shoulder. And they never deserted. You want to know why they wouldn't desert? Because if they deserted, they were either killed or they had their hands cut off. They never deserted. Can I tell you something? Get into battle this morning. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand shoulder to shoulder with everybody else in this church and every other Christian around and about. And let's go out to battle. And let's don't desert. Let's stand and fight. Now listen. I'm not talking about going out and beating somebody up. I hope you understand. You know, I hate to say that you got to be clearer than that sometimes, but you got to be. What, am I right? Stand up and fight the good fight. Of faith. Stand up and fight that fight. Don't back down whenever they come against you and say, well, you're the ones that are unloving. You're the ones that don't care. Absolutely not. I love and I care so much that I do not want you to go to hell. They're turning back. We need some people that won't desert. Amen. We need that. And there's a third lesson I think we can learn from this scripture here this morning. And it's the greatest lesson, and it comes from Jesus Christ himself. You see, the same God that was with David and was with Abishai, guess who he's with today? He's with us. The same God that helped David, that helped David defeat Goliath, helped him defeat all the other giants that he come up against, is the same God that is with us today. Yeah, the enemy's going to come back. And yes, it's time for us to stand up. But understand, when you stand up, the same God that back then is the same God today. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is what? He that is in you than he that is in the world. The God that we serve is greater than all the giants that you will face. Can I have an amen on that? He's greater than all the gods you will face. Listen to me. I thought about Linda and Craig this morning. Listen, they banned the battles down through their life. They got another giant they're going up against today. Brothers, we can stand shoulder to shoulder and we can fight that giant with them, right? There's people in this church that have got battles going on. The giants are coming after them. We can stand shoulder to shoulder and fight the good fight of faith with them, can we not? Give me some people that are not afraid and not ashamed to raise their hand and say, God, I'm with you and for you. Give me some that will say, whom shall I send? Lord, send me. Who shall I send? And he said, Lord, send me. Man, I tell you, we need a lot more of that today, do we not? Don't stand here and say, who shall I send? And say, send Greg and Michelle. And you sit back here and do nothing. How fair is that? Amen. It's not fair. Brothers and sisters, if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, or we are going to battle this together, we battle this together. Till when? Till God takes us home. Give me some people that believe God is able. Do you believe God is able this morning? I believe He's able. I believe He's able. Listen, I pray God's will probably more than anybody else. But I believe God can cure cancer. I believe God's still in the healing business. I believe God can still take drugs away from people. I believe God can still change the hearts and the minds of those that sometimes we think can never be changed. I still believe that. Because I believe, you know, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Give me some that believe He's able. The same God that delivered David, the same God that delivered Abishai, is the same God that can deliver you this morning. The same God that delivered Paul, the same God that delivered Peter, is the same God that can deliver you this morning. Is the same God that is with us this morning. And He'll be with us throughout all eternity. Sure, there will be Ishbi bin Obs. They're going to come after you. I'm just here to tell you, they will come after you. Listen, I got saved back in the mid-1970s, early 1970s. I have battled giants all my life. And you say, well, Dave, I don't care if you're the preacher. You understand that? I don't care if you're the Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you've been coming to a church for 50 years. The giants will come. It's not the fact that they won't come. It's the fact, are you able to stand up against them through the power of Jesus Christ? Always remember that same God. Never let David down. Will not fail us in the heat of battle. Napoleon, in one of the bloodiest battles that he ever had, his soldiers come back home. They were bloodied. Some of them maimed. Some of them had lost arms. He come back home. He had some of his soldiers come back with him. But when they come back, Napoleon looked on his army, and the survivors that was left, he had made a medal for every one of them to come back. On the front of the medal, it had the name of the battle. And on the back of the medal, it says, I was there. That's what he put on the back of that medal. I was there. One of these days, brothers and sisters, we're going home. We're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with those that have been martyred, with those that have lost their life, have stood, but we're going to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with them because of Jesus Christ. Right? Because of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I don't know, we're not going to have no medal, but you know what we can say? I was there. I was there. How about you this morning? Can you say that? God, one day the church will stand before Him. I don't know your hearts here this morning. I don't know where you're at. You may be battling giants. If you're battling them, I'm going to open this up. Belinda, come get a song here this morning. If they come and get a song, I'm just going to ask you this morning. If you're battling a giant here this morning, can I tell you something? Come to this altar today. They get this song. I don't know if you will end up martyred. I don't know any of that kind of stuff. I can't tell you that. But the Scripture tells us if we get saved, we can stand shoulder to shoulder. That's what it tells us. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man. This is the only thing that He has required of us. Now listen to this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't say we have to be martyred in battle, but it does say we have to do that. I'm going to read this scripture that I'm going to let them have a song. If you have a need here this morning, you may be fighting giants in your life, you may be lost, but if they get this song here in a minute. But I'm going to read Romans 12:1-2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable. And to be conformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I tell you, everything that you see going on out here in the world today, it's about the mind. It's about the devil attacking the mind. Can I tell you one example before I finish reading? You know what? In trans ideology, they say this, and if you listen to them, they'll say, well, I felt like I'm this way since I was a kid. Their mind's under attack. You know how the world tells them to do that? Well, you transform your body to match your mind. You know what Jesus says? You transform your mind. That's what the Scripture says. There's a battle going on out there. It said, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where it's at. Brother and sister, the giants are not going to go away. They're here. They're here to fight you. But can I tell you this morning, we serve a God that is greater than that. And He will help us to defeat the giants. But we've got to lay it out there. We've got to put it out there for Him and pray and say, God, help me. Help me. All right, we get a song. If you have a need this morning, please come.